Gente.
Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla. At 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Chapter 14. I want to call your attention this morning to verses 10 through 14. Exodus chapter 14. Verses 10 through 14, and there you will find these words. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And then verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. I want you to think with us this morning as you take your seats in terms of a subject, living in the in-between. Living in the in-between. Thank you, ushers. The people of Israel, God's chosen generation, after 400 years of unpaid manual labor in Egypt, finally have been released from the hands of oppression, slavery, and hard times, and are on their way to Canaan, the land of promise. No longer will they have to endure the wickedness of oppression. No longer will they have to subject themselves to an authority that does not have their best interest at heart. The people of Israel, God's chosen people, are on their way away from the place of their worst nightmare to a land that will plant them in the place of their greatest dreams. They're leaving Egypt behind. They're on their way to Canaan. No more bricks without straw. No more 18-hour work days without the pay to match the labor. No more working for the man. No more eating scraps from the king's table. No more compromising just to survive. And I'm sure that as they exit Egypt, many of them are saying out loud and to themselves that the Lord has finally answered our prayers. You know, they shouted, they danced, they cried. Yeah, come on, some of you know what it's like, amen, to want to change real bad. You know what it's like to desire God to move on your behalf. You know what it's like to finally have your prayer answered. For 400 years, these prayer warriors have labored in the enemy's camp. For 400 years, they have prayed and fasted for their day of deliverance. For 400 years, they have asked God to release them from their chains of affliction. And finally, God has done what he said he would do. But my brothers and sisters, as we catch up with these Israelites in this 14th chapter of Exodus, we are told that before they can put their feet in the land of Canaan, there is one more stop they have to make. You need to know that it's not the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea. It's not the Jordan River. Not even the height of the Jordan could stop them in their tracks. But the layover, the stop that they must make is in the land of in between. You ever been there? You ever been there? Amen. You ever been there in the land of in between? You've been there. Do you remember making a stop in the land of in between? Maybe you didn't know that you were there, but you've been to the land of in between. It's the place after your bondage, but before your promised land. I come by to tell you, you've been to the land of in between. You've been to that place after the bad habit, but before the new life really takes hold. You've been there. You've been to that place. You know where it is, that place after you've sown good seed and good soil, but right before you reap your blessing. It's called the land of in between. As a matter of fact, I think that some of us might be living in the land of in between right now. We're out of Egypt, out of our worst nightmare, but not yet in Canaan, the place where our dreams take us. We're no longer working the job that we hate, but we're not yet working the job that we desire. I'm talking about the land of in between. We're close, but we're not quite there yet. We're out of bondage. The addiction has been broken. The hellish marriage is over. The bills have been caught up. The wrong influences are out of our lives. The surgery went well. The pain is gone. The children have finally graduated. Retirement has finally come. The days of abuse are behind me. So how come I feel like something is still missing? Because although the addiction is broken, the healing is still in process. It's because although the hellish marriage is over, there's still some pain that lingers. Come on, do I have a witness today? Although you caught all your bills up, you still can't buy what you want to buy because your credit ain't just right yet. Do I have a witness? Although the surgery went well, come on, you still got some scars that remain. Although the children have graduated, and is there anybody here who can say, thank God my child finally graduated, amen, but they still don't have a job yet. Amen. Although retirement has come, you still haven't achieved some major goals. Although the days of abuse are over, trusting people is still hard. Although you've sown good seeds, you're still waiting to reap your blessing. You are out of Egypt, but now you've got to deal with the layover in the land of in between. And you've got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that what caused the people of Israel to second guess their deliverance was the fact that it's difficult to be patient when you know that where you are is not where you want to be, although you're better off than you used to be. Come on, come on. I'm glad that I'm not in Egypt anymore, but I'm not content because neither am I in the land of promise. After all, this ain't what I prayed for. Yes, I prayed to be free, but I also prayed for my feet to strike Canaan. I didn't pray to be chased down in the desert. So you've got to understand the tension in the text and the tension in the hearts of God's chosen people. God, I wanted to be free, but I didn't want to have to face another mountain already. Tell somebody, if it ain't one thing, sure is another. Oh, where are my witnesses at? Where are my witnesses at?
And so here they are, fresh out of bondage, thinking that just in a few days they would be in the land flowing with milk and honey, only to find out it ain't so. Only to find out that they're in the land of in between. So the Israelites, they raised this issue. God, if you wanted to kill us, why didn't you just kill us in Egypt? Why'd you have to bring us this far to leave us? Why did you commend our faithfulness by releasing us from our chains only to reward us with some more chains? Why did you bring us out just to make us wait in the desert in the land of in between? There are many under the sound of my voice who have finally escaped the shackles of Egypt only to wake up and discover that the promised land is still a little ways down the road, down the way. You've left addictions behind, bad marriages behind, bad habits behind, bad decisions behind. You've outlasted your storms. You've sown some good seed, but yet you're still waiting to march into your promised land. You've ended up marooned in the land of in between, and it's difficult to stay positive. Come on, it's hard to keep on fighting. Come on, it's hard to hold your head up, to keep on keeping on when you followed God's will and all you get is another challenge you've got to bear. The Israelites raise an issue that I think many of us are battling with. And if you haven't, it's probably because you're still in Egypt. What do you do when you know that you're not where you want to be, but you're better off than where you used to be? What do you do when your sowing has not reaped the expected harvest? Because understand, there are moments when you will find yourself living in between bondage and promise. I'm trying to help somebody. I don't know who you are, but God knew that you were going to be here today to hear this word. The people, after they thought they had left their problems behind, say to Moses, their God-ordained leader, why did you bring us out here to die? We could have died in Egypt. And here's my first point. Moses says to them, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Here's the first point. What Moses tells them suggests to me that when you're living in the land of in between, watch this, you've got to learn to confront the comfort of oppression. You've got to learn. How do I make it in the land of in between? If I'm ever going to move, amen, from the land of in between to the place that God is taking me to, I've got to be willing to confront the comfort of oppression. Come on, I want you to say that. Say, confront the comfort of oppression. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You see, many of us, like Israel, have found comfort in tyranny because although it restrains us, it's familiar. We say the devil we know is better than the devil we don't know. The next is that the Israelites would have preferred to accept Egypt and oppression rather than Canaan and freedom. There's a measure of comfort and security that many of us find in oppression that needs to be confronted. Oppression is accepted by some because oppression brings security, although it is negative security. You want to know why some of us are mistreated and abused and walked over and talked about and emotionally traumatized? It's because we are comfortable in oppression. For some of us, oppression is easier to deal with than freedom. Oppression is free, but freedom is going to cost you something. We just celebrated Memorial Day, and thank God, amen, for all of the brave men and women who laid down their lives, amen, not just comfortable being free, but realizing that in order for us to maintain our freedom, you got to fight every now and then. Is there anybody in here today who understands that if you're going to ever get out of that oppressive situation, you got to first of all realize that you've become comfortable in that situation. You found ways to excuse folks' behavior. You let them talk to you in any kind of way and do any and everything to you. You've gotten comfortable there, but if you're going to ever move from the land of in between, you've got to be willing to confront the comfort of oppression. The Israelites, y'all, would have rather have stayed in Egypt and been oppressed than to fight for their freedom. They said to Moses, at least in Egypt we had 3 meals a day. At least in Egypt we had a bed to sleep on. At least in Egypt we had water to drink. But out here in the land of in between, we've got to rely on a God who we thought had delivered us for good. Out here in the land of in between, we've got to pray all day and all night. Out here in the land of in between, we've got to rely on manna from heaven, and that's how many of us are. We'd rather stay in Egypt than to confront our oppressor and trust God. Many of us are in situations right now that are oppressive, but we stay in them because we are needy people. Let me tell you, it's dangerous to get too needy. I said it's dangerous to get too needy. I've seen too many sisters who've gotten tricked and messed up because they let themselves get too needy, and they found themselves relying on some knucklehead who did not have their best interest at heart, who really didn't care anything about them. Are there any INDEPENDENT women up in here who had to figure out that you ain't got to wait on nobody to get your delivery? You better learn how to fight for your freedom. And it ain't just the women, there's some needy brothers, some needy fellas, amen. Can't do nothing for yourself, can't do nothing by yourself. I've said it before, Dr. Burnett taught me when I was a child in church. He said, if you gotta stand alone, take a position. But whatever you do, don't get comfortable in an oppressive situation. Don't get comfortable letting folk abuse you and misuse you. You better learn how to confront the comfort of oppression. Oh my, oh my, oh my. A lot of folk are in those kind of situations right now. Stay in the marriage. Be unhappy because there's comfort or security in oppression. We'll stay on the job and be miserable because there is comfort in oppression. We'll stay in the relationship because there is security in oppression. But is there anybody here who understands that the comfort of oppression can trap you? The comfort of oppression can make a fool out of you? The comfort of oppression will play games with your mind? If you don't believe me, ask some alcoholics. They'll tell you that some would rather be drunk than try to function clean and sober. Just ask some ex-cons. They will tell you that they would rather stay in jail than try to make a living and function on the outside of jail. Just ask some spouses who accept the fact that their mate is having an affair or is abusive. They'll say it's easier to stay in the relationship than to take a risk and not have a relationship. You don't believe me? Just ask these Israelites. It was easier to be a slave than it was for them to take the risk of freedom. It was easier to stay in Egypt than it was to cross one more river. It was easier to stay oppressed than it was to have faith and stretch out a rod. Understand that when you've been a slave to anything for a while, when you've been comfortable in oppression, it becomes easy to develop a slave mentality. A lot of folk walking around with a slave mentality. Oh, Lord, keep my mind clear. Nothing bothers me like these Uncle Tom folk who act like we can't do nothing by ourselves. Amen. Oh, Lord, keep my mind clear. I got to move on because it's something I want to say that I can't say because it's going to be on the radio and I ain't going to say it. Slave mentality. Slave mentality has you thinking that you can't make it without your oppressor's help. Slave mentality has you believing that it's easier to conform than it is to fight. As you sometimes you know I gotta move this, you got to fight. I said sometimes you got to fight. Where my fighters at? Where my folk at who can testify that you didn't get to where you are, amen, by bowing down to everybody and bowing down to everything. You finally realize that when you get sick and tired enough, you gonna, amen, stand up and fight for your right, fight for your free. Is there anybody up in here who can testify and let somebody know that you didn't make it on a bed of ease, but you had to fight your way through. You had to fight your way through. Sometimes you even had to fight family and friends. Sometimes you had to fight folk who said they loved you. But when you finally woke up and realized that they didn't mean you any good, you said, I'd rather be by myself than to be comfortable in an oppressive situation. So that's the first point. You've got to confront the mindset. Because when your mind is right, watch this, the devil can't trap you. When your mind is right, no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. When your mind is right, what the devil sends to hurt you, God will use it to transform you. When your mind is right, is there anybody in here that can pat themselves on the back and say, thank God I finally got my mind right? What was messing me up? My mind was messed up. But I thank God that I got in touch with the Word of God and got enough of the Holy Ghost that He let me know that I've got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I don't have to conform to the oppressor, but I can do what the Lord wants me to do. So that's the first point. You've got to be willing to confront the comfort of oppression. But then secondly, Moses says, do not be afraid. He says, stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. What he's saying to them is, never be afraid of an already defeated enemy. Never. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say neighbor. Never be afraid of an already defeated enemy. Ooh, that's a shouting point right there. That's a shouting point. Amen, amen, amen. Let him become more worried about you than you are about him. Because guess what? If you've defeated that enemy once, you can defeat him again. Understand that you are where you are because you've already made it past what's after you. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that you've gotten to where you are because although he tried, the enemy couldn't stop you. One reason some folk come up in church and can't praise God, they sitting there looking like they've been sucking on sour lemons, is because they're so focused on where they aren't that they forget where they are in light of the fact that you had enemies trying to keep you from getting where you are. And if you could get to where you are, even with enemies trying to pull you down, if you could defeat those enemies once, you can defeat them again. I dare you to think about where the Lord has brought you to. I dare you to think about what the Lord has done in your life. And you ought to be willing to give him some praise because you know that if he could do it once, he can do it again. Amen. You've gotten to where you are because although he tried, the enemy couldn't stop you. You didn't make it to the shores of the promised land by default, but you made it because you can fight. And watch this. If you can't fight, you ought to serve a God who can. Is there anybody in here who found yourself in a situation where you didn't have any more fight left in you, but you realized that if you could just turn it over to Jesus, stop worrying. Where are my witnesses at? You had to fight sickness. You had to fight haters. You had to fight folk lying on you and talking about you. And every now and then you got tired of the fight. But instead of giving up, you put it in the Lord's hands. Won't he work it out? Won't he make a way out of no way? So don't be afraid of an enemy whom you've already defeated. You've already defeated your enemies, and what you've got to deal with now is another fear. See, the devil operates in fear. If he can have you afraid, he can defeat you. But I come by this morning to tell you to overcome your fears. Amen. Number one, don't be afraid of your enemy that's already defeated. But see, when the devil can't get you like that, guess what he'll do? He will cause you to be afraid of going back into what you came out of. And I know those of you who've suffered from addiction, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. As a matter of fact, in AA, I think they tell you, that's Alcoholics Anonymous, they tell you that you're never, amen, truly free of being an alcoholic. Is that kind of right, what they say? Amen. And so what that tells you is that you got to always kind of be afraid that I might go back. Oh, my, but I come by to tell you today that we serve the kind of God who, when he delivers you, he can deliver you all the way, and you ain't got to be living with fear of going back, because if God brings you out, tell somebody he'll bring you all the way out. Too many of us are afraid of getting recaptured, afraid of going back, afraid of being addicted again, afraid of being tricked again. Let me show you something. The text says that when the Israelites saw the Egyptian army approaching, then they became afraid. In other words, they didn't get afraid until they looked. They were fine as long as they were looking. But when they looked, their hearts got heavy. They were okay as long as they were focused on going forward. But when they looked back, that's when their minds went back to how things were in Egypt. When they looked back, their minds were crippled by fear. My brothers and my sisters, the key to moving forward into your land of promise is to not dwell on the past. Don't look back too long. When you look back too long, the pain of yesterday re-enters your spirit. When you look back too long, the trauma of your bondage captivates you. When you look back too long, the potential of the enemy will overwhelm you. And so you've got to look forward. Unless you're willing to fight, you'll end up going back or getting caught. You've got to be willing to fight. You've got to be willing to tell your oppressor, regardless of what or who it is, you got me once, but I refuse to let you get me again. You got me last time, but I'm free now, and I'm not going back. You fooled me before, but I refuse to fall for the same trick again. I'm not going back. Is there anybody in here who has made up their mind? I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. As a matter of fact, I know now what I didn't know then. I can beat you. Where's your confidence? Tell that enemy, tell that hater, amen, I beat you once, I can beat you again. But then there's one more thing I want to tell you, and I'll close. Finally, we find that when you're living in between sowing and reaping, when you're living in between Egypt and the promised land, you've got to know, watch this, when to watch and wait. There are moments when the victory is won, not by your strength in battle, but by your faith in God. Look at what Moses says to the people. He says, stand firm and you will see the deliverance, the Lord. I said the Lord will bring you today. Then he goes on to say, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again, because the Lord will fight for you. All you got to do is be still. See, that's a valuable lesson that a lot of folk in the church need to learn, because we, amen, yes, you need to know how to fight, but you also need to know when to fight. There are some times in this journey of life, amen, that God requires us to fight. But then there are some times the Lord tells us to shut up, be still, and watch me fight. So you've got to know, amen, when to watch and wait. You've got to know that the Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. The people of Israel are at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is behind them. They're in between Egypt and Canaan. They've been marching all week long, marching through the desert, marching toward Canaan. I'm sure that by now, not only has fear caught up with them, but y'all know what? They're tired. They're tired of marching, tired of running, tired of looking over their shoulders, tired of trying to figure out how they're going to make it, tired of wondering where the next meal is going to come from, tired of wondering if they have enough water to make it another day. They're tired. There comes a point in every journey when the longer that you're in between blessings, the longer that you're in between Egypt and Canaan, the more drained you become. By now, they're not just drained physically, but they're drained mentally. And if the truth would be told, they're drained spiritually. Anybody ever been running from the same demon for days, for months, for years, and you just get tired? Come on, where are my witnesses at? Tired of trying to beat the addiction, tired of trying to fix the marriage, tired of trying to keep the job,